Hi everyone, it's Elaine Hamilton from the Reiki Centre. Getting a bit off-piste in this series, and I don't know whether it'll be a series or maybe just one or two videos, because there's a lot of stuff written about enlightenment, and there's a lot of assumptions that I had about it. And the process that I'm experiencing over the last 10 years has not followed the books, or the rhetoric, or the teachers that are talking about it. And it might be that I'm completely delusional. It's a very high chance that's happening. So, so in 10 years' time, I'll be like, oops, sorry, that was shit. But there is also an equally likely chance that what I'm experiencing is also part of the path, maybe a more common path. It's the slow and steady route. Rupert Spira talks about this. He doesn't talk a lot about his own enlightenment experience because it wasn't a big boom. It wasn't a big bash. It wasn't a big, oh, woke up enlightened. And so I wonder if he kind of went through a bit of a process, because my process has been really slow and steady, like super slow and steady, to the point where for years I was still seeking something that I already had, because I was like, oh, it's not the same as what they're talking about, what other so-called enlightened people are talking about. And the words they use is a very different experience to what I'm experiencing at the moment. And I'm using it as a verb, because every day, every month, every year, there's a continuing unraveling. I was going to say deepening, because that's the words that people use, but it's not actually a deepening. It's literally like an unraveling. So I've been interested in enlightenment since I first heard about it. I would have been in my mid-20s, and my Reiki master introduced me to this term, introduced me to books. But in those days, it was the Indian gurus, Ramana Maharshi, people like this. And so I started reading all those books. Who am I? What am I? I am that. All these kind of books at the time. And that was kind of all that was available. So I devoured them, and I had this idea in my head that enlightenment was this thing that you reached. It was a goal, and then you became like a godlike thing and shiny, and people would come and sit by you and listen to you, and it would all be okay, and the universe would provide, and you would know everything about everything, right? That was my image. And honestly, it kind of stuck around for a long time, even as I started to realize that that wasn't actually what was going on. I still hung on to it for dear life. I was like, I want to be enlightened. And even the word, like when you say enlightened, it's like this idea that this light is shining out of you, like just some kind of radiant being. And oftentimes, when you listen to enlightened teachers, they are kind of radiating something. They're radiating a certain quietness, a certain meditative, like a really deep, almost like an om sound, Like, I've been really lucky to sit with all kinds of teachers, like Adi Ashanti, Eckhart Tolle, the Dalai Lama, and there is an essence about them that is very palpable. So you can kind of feel it, So I had this idea that I would be when you enlighten, you're like this, and who knows, 10 years' time, I might be floating around on a cloud somewhere. But I highly doubt it, because my own experience has been through a lot of personal development work. So since I heard the term enlightenment, I've basically been chasing it. So we're now coming up to over 30 years. And it made me go down the personal development route. So I discovered Byron Katie, love her work. I think she's a highly evolved being. Like, she describes her own enlightenment experience as a real boom. Like, she woke up on the floor in a detox, basically. And she was never the same again. So she had a very deep and profound and lasting wake-up call. And There are a lot of teachers like this. Eckhart Tolle's the same. So they're teaching from that perspective. And so therefore their experience is their experience. That's what they're teaching about. And in a sense, it then puts you into this false sense of idealization of what's actually going on because of the way they talk about it. And even Adyashanti, even though he does say it's very unique for every person and it can be slow and steady, and what I'm saying, the words I'm saying is not what it's like. He says this over and over again. However, the way that he describes enlightenment is still about this sense that you are completely one with your environment and there are specific kind of incidences or events that happen that are very profound and you kind of know. And in that sense, it is true and it's kind of not true for certain people like myself. So what happened to me was I was As I was unraveling, so there was definitely an unraveling process. So I didn't have to, I guess, in a way, I didn't have to have the big wake up because I was doing so much personal growth work. So I did Byron Katie for years and I was really starting to unlock my belief systems. I was already getting really loose with my belief system. So I knew before anything happened, I knew that beliefs were not real. Like I'd seen it. Over and over and over again. So I kind of knew that this structure that we call ego was not an actual entity. It was a collection of, just a collection of beliefs that I believed, like thoughts that I believed. People had told me stuff were true and I just believed it was true. It was like unchallenged thought patterns. And I knew that. So I was working quite hard to unravel that. So in a sense, I was already pretty open. I was kind of unraveling anyway. That was the direction I was going in. And then I started getting attracted to silent retreats. And I'm not saying all of this as a pathway for you guys, okay? I'm just saying that what happened to me, it really was very slow and steady over 30 years. And I'm still going through it. So it's almost like my so-called enlightenment process. It is a lifelong journey. It wasn't an actual incident or event. And then, whoa, I'm just like, whoa, this just wasn't, it isn't like that for me. And my guess is that I'm actually more in the normal range than these teachers that had a much deeper, profound, more kind of explosive enlightenment that showed them everything all at the same time. Right. So for me, it's like being incremental, small steps that over a long period of time have fundamentally shifted the way that I view the world and the way that I operate in the world and the way I show up. Right. So I started going to silent retreats. I, from the get-go, found them amazing. I know a lot of people really struggle with them, but again, I'd been doing a lot of work. I was a Kundalini yoga teacher by then. I'd been doing Reiki for like 2 decades. I was doing all this energetics and I was doing all this personal growth and I was dismantling my belief systems. And so there was a whole bunch of stuff that I was working pretty hard at to uncover this thing called enlightenment, right? So I go along to a couple of silent retreats and it was in 2016. And Adia had been talking about who hears the bird. And here's the thing, when you go on silent retreat, the teacher will talk about all kinds of different things. And some of it will be like, oh, that sounds interesting. And some of it will stick. And it's the stuff that sticks that you want to follow because that's your own inner wisdom, your own enlightenment journey that is calling you. And so for some reason, when he was talking about this story that, who hears the bird? And I was just so enraptured by this. I thought, this is the thing. So I started meditating on this question, who hears the sound? And there was this gentleman sitting next to me who was really loud breathing. And honestly, it's kind of like when you sit in meditation for hours and hours a day, it's the clock starts to drive you mental. People's noises drive you mental, like all this stuff. So I'm sitting right next to this guy who's really heavy breathing, and I can hear every single piece of air through his nostrils. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I've got to sit here for 40 minutes. And it's either just going to drive me mental or I can meditate on this who hears the sound. And for whatever reason, I was answered. So in a sense, I would say there was a definite shift in perspective in during that meditation where I realized I was the one hearing the sound and that I was not me, Elaine, that all, it was I, as in the resonant om of the universe, like the universal I. Now, when I say that, it sounds very fantastical and mystical and ooh, enlightenment and ooh, but it really wasn't. It was, oh yeah. In fact, I text my friend afterwards and I was just like, what the fuck? It's like, the actual fuck. It's like, what? It was so ordinary and it was so obvious. It was really ordinary and yet life-changing. Because after that, when I went back to read all these enlightenment books again, they suddenly all made sense. It was really weird. So in that sense, it was a profound shift. But then in another sense, it was so obvious. It's the only reason that I can, the only word I can use for it is so obvious. And then you're sitting there going, how the hell did I miss that? Like, how the hell have I gone around? Because by this stage, I was in my 40s, right? So I'm like wandering around, like, how the hell? No, actually, 2016, I was 50. I just turned 50, just before I turned 50, so 49. It's like, how did I, what? And so that was basically the beginning, the real beginning, I think, of the acceleration of my dismantling. So the dismantling of ego. But it didn't blow out a lot of my ego. Like it didn't. And this is where it gets really difficult because when you read the books, it's all about, oh, you're immediately bonded with oneness. And I see the chair and the tree, and that's me, and this person's me, and everything is me. And I'm like, nah, no, that did not happen. That didn't happen to me. So what happened was I realized I was seeking myself. So all that seeking I was doing, seeking for enlightenment, seeking for my truth, seeking for the, it was like I was seeking myself. And that stopped. So the one thing that did stop after that experience was it was hilarious. The idea of seeking for myself became hilarious. Like it was just, and to this day, when I think about it, it's really funny. So there's a certain humor that comes in. I think that's why I laugh so much, because everything is just so funny to me now. It's like, oh my God, we're all running around. Like we're literally running around in spiritual growth, trying to find ourselves. And it's even in the hints in the thing, because we do say, go, find yourself. Who are you? It's like, but we are. It's really funny when you get it, but there's a getting. It's like getting the joke. It's literally like that. It's like getting a joke and it being funny. That moment when you get a joke and there is this instant recognition that happens. And in that instant recognition, everything changes, yet nothing changes. You're just laughing at the joke. You're still the same person. And so that was what I would call my enlightenment moment or reaching enlightenment. But because it didn't match the books, and I was still walking around very much entangled in Elaineness, who I was, who other people were, nothing was one. I mean, I could see it was all one, but then I couldn't. Like I was very much still in duality. And so I continued to doubt this experience I had for years. So on the one hand, I knew I'd had a profound shift in perspective because it never disappeared. Like to this day, what is like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I have never forgotten that I'm the one that I'm supposed to be seeking. But, and this is the random thing, is that I didn't stop seeking because so funny, because I'm reading all these books. And this is really why I'm making the video, because I'm like, God, you can just, there's so much self-doubt that comes in, because then what happens is it's like, well, I'm not matching what these teachers are saying. Like, I'm still very much in ego, but I can see it. So it's different. It is different. And when I pick up an enlightenment book, I totally get it. Like, I understand everything what they're saying. It's like, oh yeah, that's true. True and yet not true. And this is the thing that is the entanglement. So for me, it's like I woke up, but I was still fully dressed, right? Like, I was still in the dream. It was like I was lucid dreaming. So I could tell I was in the dream, but I was still entangled in it. So people could still upset me and this and that and the other. And I was still in it. And I was, but as I'm in it, there's also a part of me that knows I'm in it. So then I'm not seeking in the same way, but it's really difficult because the seeking energy is still there, because you've still got that belief system that this isn't it, this isn't it, this isn't it. You're doing it wrong. This is not what the books say. This is not what the teachers say. You're deluding yourself, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. So I just wanted to start off with that. And then I'm going to see how I feel. I'm going to carry on bit by bit. But that was the first part of it. So the way that I kind of started to wake up at the next level, I guess, if you could call it that. So it's kind of like this. You're totally enmeshed in the duality. You are yourself. You think you are your thought structures. You think you are your belief systems. You think you are your thoughts, your thinking. You know, things really matter. People relate to you, all that kind of stuff. So you're really separate from other people. And then for me, as I started to peel back that belief through my work, through my spiritual work, my mental work, my psychological work, I started to see, oh, actually, belief systems are just belief systems. They don't actually make up me. And this whole idea of ego started to loosen. And it was pretty wobbly by the time I started doing my silent retreats. And then the silent retreat just kind of deepened something. It's like I woke up. So it's the Rumi poem, you know, that I'm hammering at the door of the temple, let me in, let me in. And then the realization that, oh, I'm hammering from the inside of the temple. I am inside the temple already. I'm already it. And so, from that aspect, the seeker that is seeking outside all the time, that stops. It stops. But then a different seeking mechanism kicks in. So there's a different kind of energy that is still there. And a lot of the stuff for me, like I had this what the fuck moment, like getting a joke. It was literally like when you get a joke, it's like the aha moment, but nothing else got blown out. My ego was still in place, all my structures, all my belief systems. So then the next part of my journey was going through the self-doubt of, well, did anything actually happen to me? Like, I kind of gaslit myself for years that what I thought I'd seen, I didn't really see. And I was in some kind of weird denial. And so I'll talk about that in the next video. Yeah. Okay. Cheers. Thanks for listening.